Come out and hear Eric Metaxas, who wrote the book that inspired the movie Amazing Grace. Colorado Right to Life has reserved the steps of the Capitol in Denver to hold a rally and then a march to the 16th Street Mall when it's teeming with people at noon on Thursday, January 22nd. Eric Metaxas wrote the best-selling Amazing Grace, documenting the relentless effort of perhaps the greatest abolitionist of all time, William Wilberforce, who worked for 46 years to end slavery. Abortion was legalized in our state 41 years ago. Yet in 2008, we had 585,000 Coloradans vote for personhood to end all abortions. Don't be discouraged. Stand up for God and His command, do not murder. Come out at noon on January 22nd to the Capitol and hear Eric Metaxas encourage us with the lessons learned by Wilberforce in his life's work to recognize the slave's right to life and liberty. See ColoradoRightToLife.org for more information.
Warning, warning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, breast cancer is far more likely in a woman who has had an abortion. And World Magazine, if you don't subscribe to World, World is a very popular magazine in the Christian community, evangelical Christians. And they have an article, January 17th, 2009, Life or Death Regarding Abortion and Breast Cancer. And they point out that the Susan G. Komen For the Cure Foundation, you know, the March for the Cure, that they give grants to Planned Parenthood, and Planned Parenthood is the nation's number one abortion provider. That seems somewhat backwards. Well, I have friends who are experts on this issue, a former Komen researcher and a professor of endocrinology at Brook College. But one person I don't believe I've ever spoken to is reference quoted in this article by World Magazine's Elisa Harris, and her name is Karen Malik. Karen founded the Coalition for Abortion Breast Cancer, and I want to welcome her to the program. Karen Malik, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be with you today.
Karen, when you read through this article, World Magazine, I can't say that they really do a great job in warning women about the risk of abortion to increased breast cancer likelihood. Could you help the audience, help us think through this issue? What makes you believe there's a link between abortion and breast cancer?
Actually, there are three links, three breast cancer risks associated with abortion. And frequently, the people do not understand that when this is being reported in the press, sometimes the journalists get these different risks mixed up too, and they don't really understand which of these risks it was that scientists were studying, for instance, when they're reporting on a single study. And there's really only one out of the three risks that scientists continue to debate and to challenge us on. And that is called the independent link between abortion and breast cancer.
Yes. Abortion and breast cancer. Could we do this? Is Karen Malik, is one of the other links the protective aspect of giving birth? Is that one of the other of the three?
Yes, it is.
Could we start with that one? Because, you know, for one, I'm a guy, and two, I'm not real expert on this, but that's something I think I could understand.
It makes perfect sense. Now, scientists have known this literally for centuries, that childbearing protects a woman from breast cancer. In fact, it's the best way to prevent breast cancer. Having more children, starting at a younger age, and younger age means before age 24, biologically speaking, that's a younger age. Have more children starting at a younger age and breastfeed them longer. Breastfeed more over the course of a woman's reproductive years. That's the best way to prevent breast cancer.
And Karen, Karen Malik, doctors and scientists overwhelmingly agree with this. This is not something that just pro-lifers are shouting from the rooftops. For the most part, the entire medical community acknowledges that there is a protection to women from getting breast cancer if they have a full-term birth. Is that true? Is that generally agreed by all camps?
That's true. It's in the standard medical text. It's been there for decades, and it was first recognized centuries ago that childbearing is protective because they noticed more nuns were getting breast cancer than women who'd had children. And so that's when they first understood that there must be a connection between having breast cancer and not having children, being childless.
That is a fascinating observation. If a woman is, let's say a woman is 20 years old, you'd think in a 20-year-old all her organs would be mature, but that's true of all organs except for the mammary glands. They are not mature until a woman gives birth.
That's right. In fact, at birth, when a little girl is born, only her breasts are not, they are the only organs that are not matured. And they do not fully mature until she has that first full-term pregnancy. You see, that the young childless woman has almost exclusively cancer-susceptible breast lobules. We call these lobules type 1 and 2 lobules. A lobule is some tissue that includes a milk duct and milk-producing tissue. So this is not developed until the woman has had a full-term pregnancy. That's when full development takes place. And so what happens when a woman gets pregnant is she's overexposed to a hormone called estrogen, among other, other hormones. That estrogen increases by 2,000% by the end of the first trimester. Estrogen is recognized as a carcinogen.
Right.
And it has a function of causing the breast to grow. It causes the breast to grow in puberty, and it causes the breast to grow in a normal pregnancy. And that estrogen makes the breast grow by making the lobules multiply during the normal pregnancy. So she's getting more cancer-susceptible lobules than she had before she became pregnant. Now, there's a protective process that takes place in the last months of full-term pregnancy that scientists call differentiation. And this process is what matures those lobules into fully cancer-resistant lobules. They become permanently cancer-resistant. And 85% of her lobules now, by the end of a first full-term pregnancy, 85% of her lobules have been fully matured from cancer-susceptible lobules into fully cancer-resistant lobules, which we call type 4 lobules. These are the lobules that contain the colostrum. This is what the woman has when she's about to nurse.
Okay, now when you're talking about three links between abortion and breast cancer, we covered the first one earlier, in that if
that's
a woman
right.
brings a pregnancy to full term, gives birth, then there is a protection that virtually all doctors and researchers agree is there. It's very significant protection. And so if you have an abortion, of course, you lose that protection. By the way, this World Magazine article, January 17, 2009, it quotes an abortion breast cancer surgeon, Angela Lanfranchi, and she explains this to the journalist, to Elisa Harris, and then Elisa explains it to us readers. You're going to lose that level of protection. So that there's agreement on. Now, the second kind of link that you're talking about is because when a woman becomes pregnant, her body is then flooded with estrogen, a known carcinogen, and that causes the creation of additional cells that are undifferentiated. Is that right? They're not yet the milk ducts or the milk-producing tissue yet?
Right. These are the type 1 and 2 lobules that are multiplying, the cancer-susceptible lobules. They multiply. So the independent link between abortion and breast cancer means that the woman who has the abortion or a premature birth before 32 weeks of pregnancy is left with more places in her breast for cancers to start.
And
okay, that's the only effect that is debated by scientists.
All right. Now, one of the disservices that Elisa Harris did to her readers in World Magazine is they sort of gave Planned Parenthood the final word, and they said, well, there's newer evidence. She did talk about a study back in 1989, 20 years ago, in New York, that looked at fetal death certificates and then looked for mothers in breast cancer registries, and they found significantly higher odds for cancer in women who had had abortions or spontaneous abortions. That, for example, that's one of many studies that said, hey, look at this, there's quite a link.
If I could just correct that for a moment.
Yes.
They found that increase, they found a statistically significant 90% increase in risk for women who had abortions, but for women who had spontaneous abortions, which are miscarriages, they did not find an increase in risk. What happened was, Ms. Harris was reading the abstract for that study. Mm. When you read the full study, you find that the full study talks about an increase in risk for induced abortion.
90% for induced abortion. Why would you think, Karen, that there would not be that same level for a woman who has a miscarriage?
Well, because most miscarriages are not normal pregnancies. Most miscarriages are first trimester miscarriages. These are pregnancies with a low hormonal level. So if there's no overexposure to estrogen, then there's no increase in cancer risk. Mm. See, what happens is in a normal pregnancy, the hormone progesterone will also go up. And the progesterone is the pregnancy maintenance hormone. This is the hormone that maintains the pregnancy, and if there aren't sufficient levels of progesterone to maintain that pregnancy, then the pregnancy is going to fail. The estrogen is made from progesterone, so the two hormones rise and fall together during pregnancy. When progesterone goes down, then estrogen is going to go down too, because estrogen is made from the progesterone. You see, so if there's no overexposure to estrogen, then there's no increase in risk. And frequently, when a woman miscarries, she'll say, gee, I didn't feel pregnant. Mm. You know, I didn't notice
right.
any symptoms. My breasts weren't tender and sore, mm-hmm. and I wasn't feeling nauseous. I didn't feel extremely tired. This is because of the low hormonal level.
All right. So now, Karen Malik, going through this article in World Magazine, Elisa, the journalist, she lists that study, and I appreciate your clarification, the 90% increased risk of getting breast cancer from women who had induced abortion. But then she gives Planned Parenthood and Komen, the Komen Foundation, sort of the last word. And she says, well, Komen says newer evidence contradicts this. In 2003, 100 experts from the National Cancer Institute concluded there was no link between breast cancer and abortion. And you know what, Karen, I have a friend, Dr. Joel Brind. He has been on this program. He's a PhD endocrinologist from Baruch College in New York City. He attended that meeting. He's one of the 100 experts.
That's right.
And he, an endocrinologist, that's a scientist who studies hormones. And he's an expert on these matters. And he stated on this radio program that the 2003 conference, and I'm getting this verbatim now, from a transcript, the 2003 conference of the National Cancer Institute, which denied abortion as a risk factor for breast cancer, refused to allow attending scientists to present the opposing position of the scientific research establishing the link, showing that abortion was declassified as a cancer risk for political and not scientific reasons. So, Karen, that rings true to you?
Oh, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, for anybody in the audience today who questions that, they can go online to the National Cancer Institute's website. They took a video cast. They have a video cast online of that three-day workshop, and it shows that there was no debate there at that workshop. It was supposed to be a comprehensive review of all the worldwide research that has been published since 1957. 1957, women weren't told about the existence of this huge body of research on the abortion breast cancer link. And you can look at that video cast, and it shows that the only viewpoint that was allowed to be presented at that workshop was the view that abortion does not raise breast cancer risk. And I have to add, too, that at the time of that workshop, the time that the workshop took place, there were 26 out of 32 studies that reported an increase in risk for women who had abortions.
Give me that percentage, that ratio again. What was that?
26 out of 32 studies reported increases in risk for women who had abortions. That's just the epidemiological research. That's just the research that shows a statistical relationship between having an abortion and having an increase in risk. In other words, they were able to show in those studies more women who have abortions develop breast cancer later on in life. Mm. And
now, those 26 studies that showed increased risk of breast cancer to women who go to Planned Parenthood or other abortionists and have their unborn child killed, those 26 studies, they must have been done by religious Christian pro-life organizations.
Absolutely not. Most of those studies were done by people who call themselves abortion supporters. And in fact, one of the studies at that time, one study was specifically commissioned by the National Cancer Institute, and it was done by the lead researcher was Dr. Janet Dehling and her colleagues at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. And Dr. Dehling, although she calls herself an abortion supporter, she said that she would have liked to have found that there was no increase in risk, but that was not the fact, that her study was rock solid, and she found an overall increase in risk of 50% for people in the general population who have abortions. And for those who had abortions, there were high-risk groups. If you had an abortion before age 18, you fall into a high-risk group then for developing breast cancer later on in life. If you had an abortion before age 18 and you had a family history of the disease, the every single person in that study who had those characteristics, and there were only 12 in that, in a very large study of 1,800 women, all 12 of those women with those characteristics went on to develop breast cancer by the age of 45, so they used the infinity symbol to represent that particular risk. Now, I'm just talking about the epidemiological studies here. We have biological evidence of an abortion breast cancer link. We have biological evidence showing that exposure to estrogen, and while it's in the presence of progesterone, increases breast cancer risk. That's why hormone replacement therapy that has estrogen and progestin in it is classified as a group 1 carcinogen by the National Cancer Institute and the World Health Organization. That's why the birth control pill, the contraceptive steroidal hormones, are classified as a group 1 carcinogen by the World Health Organization. I'm talking about the pill with the estrogen and progestin.
Right.
And that's why We have studies today showing that the woman who has a premature birth before 32 weeks of pregnancy more than doubles her breast cancer risk. Now, why would that be? Well, she goes through the same hormonal changes to her breasts during pregnancy that the woman who has an abortion does. There's absolutely no difference between the two pregnancies, except for the fact that one has a baby that is born alive, whereas the other one has a baby that is dead. But for the mother, as far as the mother's body is concerned, her breasts are exactly, they've gone through the exact same changes. They're both left with more places in their breasts for cancers to start. And so, therefore, that evidence showing a link between having a premature birth and developing breast cancer later on in life, that supports the independent link between abortion and breast cancer, and scientists do not challenge it. They do not challenge it. They're dishonest enough or disingenuous enough to challenge the abortion breast cancer link because it's about abortion.
Right, exactly. We just debated a homosexual activist from New York City this past week, Wayne Besson, of a group called Truth Wins Out, and we followed that debate with a nurse practitioner in studio who said he's giving out misinformation, dangerous medical misinformation that could lead to disease and death. And we saw that the agenda there was he wants to promote something that is immoral. And so when people have a worldview, an agenda, they will play fast and loose with the truth, with facts. And so we see this now with the abortion issue. Even though women's lives are in the balance, Komen Foundation, Planned Parenthood, political leaders will lie about the link. Let me ask you this. And Karen, your organization, you founded it about a decade ago, Coalition for Abortion Breast Cancer. Is that right?
That's right.
And your website. Give us your website.
Sure. We're on the web at abortionbreastcancer.com, abortionbreastcancer.com.
Okay, and you guys have links to just fabulous studies. When I asked earlier how many of those 26 out of the 32 studies showed a link, where if they were all Christian pro-life studies, I knew the truth. These are studies by mainstream universities, researchers, showing that there's a link. And so if it's true, Karen, if there were a link, if there is a link between abortion and breast cancer, then we should be able to see that when abortion is legalized in a country, that the percentage of women who get breast cancer should increase. Do we
That's
see
right.
that?
Oh, we do see that. And as a matter of fact, we see that in countries like, for instance, Ireland, they have a very low breast cancer rate, and that is where abortion is really outlawed, although they do have women that will travel to Great Britain
right, that's right.
for abortions. But not only that, not only is their breast cancer rate very, very low, but also their rate of premature births is very, very low. And that is also attributed to the fact that abortion is illegal in Ireland.
Because if you have an abortion, there's a greater risk that you're going to deliver a preemie in
right.
your next child. And
that's correct.
That's a link that Planned Parenthood doesn't want women to know about also.
They don't tell women about that, and it's due to cervical damage. It's also due to infections. And the Institute of Medicine recognizes the link between having an abortion and having a premature birth later on in life. In fact, the abortion premature birth link is something that really could wipe out the abortion industry with medical malpractice lawsuits.
And so we want to encourage women, if you've had an abortion and then you later had a premature delivery, please consider suing Planned Parenthood or the abortionist.
Well, now the child, too, would have a right to his own lawsuit up until, Well, at least in Illinois, it's until 2 years after the age of majority. The age of majority is age 18.
Karen.
So it's not just the risk of the parents suing, but also the child suing.
And thank you for that. We're almost out of time. You mentioned Ireland, the Dominican Republic. I pastor a church, Denver Bible Church, and some of our members are headed this week to the Dominican Republic to try to offset the Planned Parenthood pro-abortion push there to legalize abortion. But that would be an interesting country also to look to see if they have a low breast cancer risk. I know here in America, the National Cancer Institute's own statistics show that the overall cancer rate would have been decreasing steadily since 1973 if it were not for the increase in breast cancer. Women have paid the price for legalized abortion in America, and breast cancer rate increases are what have kept overall cancer rates steady since 1973, right here in America.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, if you go to Denmark, they have been able to show using Danish government statistics that the abortion rate and the breast cancer rates paralleled one another. As the one climbed, one rate climbed, the other climbed over a 50-year period
in the
20th century.
We are about out of time with our discussion with Karen Malik of the Coalition for Abortion Breast Cancer. The website is abortionbreastcancer.com. Karen, also quoted in this World Magazine article, is the Vice President of Colorado Right to Life, Leslie Hanks. And she said something after she met with Komen officials a couple years ago. She said this, it was reported in the media, even if abortion proved beneficial to a woman's health, government should still prohibit the killing of an innocent human being because abortion is always wrong. So that, of course, is the greater issue, that abortion is the intentional killing of an innocent child. And so abortion is wrong, and it's no surprise that there are other side effects, including hurting the health of the woman and future children. Karen Malik, we have time for one last comment.
Yes, I would just like to ask the listeners to please contact World Magazine at mailbag@worldmag.com, mailbag@worldmag.com, or call them at 828-232-5415, and just ask them to invite Dr. Joel Brind of the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute, that's Brind, B-R-I-N-D, to write an article to clear up some of the ambiguity.
Karen, will do that. We're flat out of time. We will do that, and we'll put it in our show summary on our website.
Thank you with
that contact information. May God bless you, Karen Malik.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate that. And if you're in Denver, Colorado, Maranatha, what a great school in Arvada, and our website is kgov.com.